Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to a flame-broiled edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Telogi. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
It's fucking hot.
Yes.
That's about all I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking hot. And it's not even, like, that humid today down here. It's like I walked out into the sun, and I was in an oven. Does it make brain work good? No do words well. But anyway, yeah, so that's basically like a good enough mindset to get into as we go in, because holy fucking shit, do we have a lot of stupid fucking people today. Not just in our show, but just in general.
Yep.
Because goddamn, there is something about just proud stupidity that is infectious, quite literally, as you're going to see very soon, because there is a lot of very stupid people who kind of got their comeuppance this week, and the worst part is the people who really need to pay attention to it aren't fucking paying attention to it, or just straight up not even believing it. We'll get to it, because there's a bunch of really stupid shit that went down this week. A lot of y'all know we had a 4th of July happened last week around Saturday. And let's be honest, I pretty much do 4th of July basically for like three things, which is beer, barbecue, and passing out on the couch.
That's that basically sounds about it. Right?
Yeah.
That's fair.
And, you know, making sure that the animals are close by, because, I mean, you know what happens on fucking 4th of July. The fucking fireworks go off, and every single pet in the square mile loses their shit. Mostly dogs, but cats also, too. I'm going to say that right now, America is, and it's really fucking cliche to say this, but America is kind of in a crossroads right now, and it's mostly the fact that the children of America have finally come of age and realized that everything they've been taught is bullshit, and there's a very large percentage of America that is holding on as hard as they possibly can to America's childhood. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And, you'll see what I'm talking about as we go on. But obviously, we didn't have just stupid shit happen. We also had some nefarious shit happen as well. We also had some crazy shit happen. We also had like a handful of things that are entertainment worthy and okay shit that happened. Mostly shit just happened this week. And, you know, it's our job basically to wipe it up. So,
well, this is the second half of 2020 going. It's getting going.
Yeah. We're literally like, we're only, and that's, I think, the thing that just hit me today is, holy shit, it's July.
Yeah.
And it's like, after March, the fucking, everything just fucking disappeared. Everything just went by in like the blink of an eye. And, you know, yeah, it's COVID-19 is the reason, because let's be honest, when you're basically having to stay inside for such a long extent of time, time kind of stops losing its meaning. But anyway, before we get to all the bullshit, let's talk a little bit about what we've been up to this week. So, Pat, what have you been up to this week?
Air conditioning is installed. So,
hooray!
Yeah. So I've just been having it running full blast pretty much the entire time since it got installed. And, my apartment is now livable. I'm overjoyed. I'm delighted. Other than that, I'm finally getting on the whole retro mini console, fix. And, I just got my Neo Geo Mini last night, and I've got TurboGrafx and Sega Genesis on the way.
Nice.
And I look forward to expanding on those and, you know, really bringing out the full potential of them, because they're fantastic devices already at this point, and being able to expand on the games to include some of my all-time favorites is going to be a lot of fun to make happen. And so that has been a thing, or is going to be a thing. And I'm on vacation as of about 3 hours ago. So
how long?
1 week.
All right.
I go back to work on the 20th, so lots of streaming being planned, lots of Phantasy Star Online 2, lots of retro gaming once again, because that's a thing now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
All right.
So that's been it for me.
Okay, Teresa, what about you? Other than all the bullshit you've had to put up with this week.
Oh, my God. Well, very recently, we took in three extremely small kittens, one abandoned and then orphaned by its adopted mom, or foster mom. And the other two were part of her litter, and she died very suddenly. And so we've been not getting sleep and doing the whole kitten thing. You guys know, every couple of hours, feed, feed, feed. Well, two of them died today.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So I have the other one. We have high hopes, but we're also realistic, because it turns out that they have feline. Oh, crap. What's it called? Distemper.
Oh.
Very bad. Like parvo in dogs bad.
Yeah.
So our home is now infected for a whole year. My car is infected for a whole year. My cats are current on their vaccines, but their booster will run out before our house is no longer infected, because that shit sticks around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty bad. And my fish died too. So...
Although you were kind of expecting that one for a while, weren't you?
I was really expecting it. So, yeah, Lord Sashomaru took a long time. A long time. So, yeah, like, pets are not working out real good this week. You know, it's just bad luck. So I've been distracting myself when I can with some Animal Crossing. And, doing some more swimming, diving type of stuff, and redesigning a few things here and there. We did catch up on Castlevania. We finished up season 3. Holy shit. I can't believe we have to wait a whole year for season 4 or longer, because, you know. And I also took a COVID-19 test.
Your brain swabbed.
Oh, my God. Okay, see, they should have different size tests for different size heads. Because it tickled my brain, and I'm sure somebody with a normal size head and schnoz, it would not have tickled their brain. So it was really uncomfortable, like, to the point, and this is a little bit TMI, I probably would have preferred to have a pap test or a pap smear versus having that thing up my nose and twisting it for 10 seconds while the girl in the CVS drive-thru looked at me and said, okay, a little longer. Yeah, you got to shove it up there further.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, fuck.
Right? So, the first one, like, my eyes were totally watering.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they weren't still watering.
Right? But after the second one, I was just, like, sneezing. And it's because I've had this cough going on for a little while. And I'm sure it's weather. But... this was probably safer than going to the doctor's office. You know? And might as well find out, because if I have it, everybody else here has it in my immediate unit. So, I didn't like it, but, you know, when Pence said that he found it invasive, yeah, okay, sure, but we've mentioned last week about the transvaginal ultrasound that he was trying to force on people getting an abortion.
Yeah.
No comparison. No comparison. Absolutely none.
Mm-hmm.
Like 10 COVID swabs in a row versus thinking about the other. So I won't have my results for 10 to 14 days.
Ugh.
I know. No. So I'm quarantining as much as I can just because I've had this damn cough. And for the week that I've had it, or maybe week and a half, I really haven't been trying to be near too many people anyway, because they could all get me sick if I'm not already sick. So that's about it. God only knows what the next week is going to bring.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, it's, yeah, the weather's been the big thing, 90 plus most of the week.
Mm-hmm.
To the point we had like a heat advisory yesterday, for most of the day.
What was the heat advisory at?
104?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten quite to that yet.
Yeah, we got to a point where I was like, I don't know if my skin's cooking here, but it's feeling like it.
Mm.
Like there's no relief from it other than just going inside.
Yeah. Like, am I boiling? I feel like I'm boiling.
Yeah, no amount of breeze is going to help you there.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a humid, hot-ass breeze that makes you feel like you're being basted.
Yeah, today we got some rain, not too much, but enough is like, oh yeah, some nice breeze before it started, and then it rained, and then it's like, oh good, it's humid now.
Oh, no storms?
No.
Because it knocked out our power twice. The first time, it knocked out our goddamn internet for a day, and I thought, I was checking everything, and I thought, I wonder if the cord between the wall and the modem went bad, you know, because of some surge or something.
Yeah.
Guess what it fucking was a day later. It was the cord. And then last night it blew two of our LED bulbs when it went out. I don't know how the fuck that happens.
Yeah. The only, like, thunder I heard was, like, after it passed us. So
okay.
It wasn't too bad.
It must have died.
You sure your home wasn't built on, like, an Indian graveyard or something?
This one could have been, man. It was built in 88, you know? And right next to a bunch of bodies of water. Possible.
Yeah.
Possible.
It's a mob burial ground.
I think it was a corn farm before this. I saw pictures.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Illinois. It was all corn farm.
Yeah. The nice thing is this weekend it cools down a bit into the 80s. Which is kind of sad to say that's cool, but that's a lot better than 90s, but luckily I just have to work tomorrow, and then I get 3 days off, so that'll be nice. Finally get like a little bit of a break from this fucking weather. But yeah, watched Supermarket Sweep, which is on Netflix now. We'll talk about that later, but that is a heck of a show, especially because it's a very 90s-ass show.
Oh, yes, it is.
Everybody's very much dressed like they're in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Hairstyles, all that good stuff. And all the brands are very 90s. Like, stuff's like, I've never heard of this. It's probably dead. It's probably because they went out of business or something.
Like, what brands?
Z.
Oh, Lord.
Toilet
yeah.
paper and, like, paper towels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's, like, weird little informational, like, news things where the host is like, oh, well, the M&M people have these new kind of M&Ms. We'll tell you what's going on when we get back. And it's like, oh, they got these smaller M&Ms for making cookies with them.
Oh.
I was like, this is when that was.
Yeah.
Now we got 50,000 flavors of M&Ms now.
And they made the Game Boy Advance M&Ms Minis game after that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those aren't even the minis. Those are just baking M&Ms.
Oh, okay.
M&Ms minis are like late 90s, I think. But, and there's one point where they made a reference that very much is a reference that doesn't age well. I'll put the link here to the screenshots I took of it.
Yeah, we gotta see this.
Referencing a celebrity that was prominent in the pudding game.
Oh, Lord.
Here's the last one. Bill Cosby is a great salesman. And the proof is, and this is where you have to fill in with the brand name or whatever. And they go to a woman, and it's like, yeah, she has pudding. Yeah, yes, the proof is in the pudding. It's like, oh, that takes on a different context now.
Wow.
That's Bill Cosby's drug pudding.
Yeah.
That show's still pretty good. And especially good just to have on while you're playing games or whatever.
Yeah, this is like the type of shit I would see when I was a kid when I was like watching Nickelodeon. This type of shit.
Yeah,
like right down to the fashion and everything.
Yep, it's and also fun just seeing them do like celebrity stuff, and it's like, oh god, what are 90s references for celebrities? Because they make like food references that relate to specific, it's like, you know, Chachi references and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
for some of the games that they do, and yeah, obviously the fun parts at the end where they all have to go out and try and get all the most expensive items to fill out their carts, which is always like,
and then you find out it's like, oh my god, it's so cheap.
Yeah, it's like all the turkeys, the hams, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I have to find the special items, that kind of stuff, which is all fun.
Yeah.
The only bad thing is it's only like 15 episodes, but
yeah.
Guess what? You just start over again.
Yeah. God, can you imagine gas being over $1 a gallon?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's almost as much as a can of Aquanet.
Though it is fun when they have people on, they do certain games where they are supposed to go find stuff, and if they find it, it's within like 20 seconds, they get $100 out of their total at the end. I think it's within 30, it's $50. But they also get 10 seconds added onto their time.
Mm.
And like, the person just like has no fucking clue where it's at. And they fucking waste all their time, which is hilarious.
Yep.
Especially at the end when they do the final like special thing to get $5,000. I saw one just didn't even get the first one. So they're like, what the fuck does this mean? It was like for some cream brand, but they went to the coffee aisle instead of the dairy aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So like, where's it at? Ah, oh, fuck, where could it be? Oh no, they barely got the first one with like 10 seconds to go. And it's like, oh, you guys fucked up.
Oh my god,
it's really great.
Yeah.
But yeah, that show is still well worth watching. They're doing a reboot at some point here. But yeah, it's a good time. And
is it just going to be a bunch of people on Amazon Fresh ordering shit and seeing how quick? Who's going to go out of stock first on their bread?
Or maybe they'll go with people from the delivery services.
Yeah.
So right. You got to get your person's shit.
You get an extra $100 if they're wearing their mask when they deliver it.
Yeah. but yeah, that's a good time there. And that's been it for watching stuff. But been playing some games, not too much because I've just been exhausted, but Rocket League, still playing. The 5th anniversary event ends here, I think, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep playing that, but still working my way through unlocking all the special items for that. And yeah, playing more Golf on Mars. I am up to, I'm in the 800s on Steam and I'm around 750 on phone on that. For holes, which is not too bad so far. I just now figured out how to actually do spin on the ball. That's one of the new things they added over the Desert Golf. So like on PC, when you are holding down to set your aim and your power, you can use the mouse wheel to flip the spin one way or the other. Now hard. And on phone, it's a little bit different. You use one finger to set the aim and power, and then the other one to swipe to set whichever way you want the ball to spin.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't quite work as well as I would like, but it's whatever. It's fine. But yeah, that's been largely it. I did pick up some stuff off of the current PSN sale, which they have Far Cry 3 for PS4. That's $3. Which is a pretty good deal for that game.
Yeah.
I also got Knack 2 for $5, which that game is also pretty good. That's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, since I basically finished The Last of Us Part 2, I basically been playing For Honor and finished the campaign, and I don't really feel too much drive to go and do the multiplayer, honestly. I mean, the game itself was fun and the world is interesting, but until there's more campaign, I'm not really interested. So I've also been playing Catherine, and, you know, that was fun. But, well, I'll get to it in just a second, but I ran into a little issue. I'll get through it in just a second. But before all that, I watched, you know, I've been reading as usual, and anime. I watched The Ghost in the Shell for the first time in 15 years.
Oh, wow.
The original from 1996.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the movie?
Yeah, the movie.
Okay.
And first of all, yeah, it's still just as good now as it was back then.
Does any of their tech stuff not hold up? Their future tech stuff?
Weirdly enough, most of it does.
Okay.
Yeah, majority of it still holds up. I mean, obviously there's still, like, holdover from, like, the 80s and 90s views of tech with, like, everything basically being filtered through, like, a black and green sort of, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Everything looks, so it looks digital. But otherwise, other than that, yeah, pretty much all the technology still holds up. I forgot just how weirdly off-putting Major Kusaragi is in that movie. Because, and it's not something you quite realize at first, because, let's be honest, when she first shows up in the movie, you're distracted by the boobs. Like, seriously. Come on, I'm not the only one here, am I? Am I? Yuler?
I don't remember, man. It was too many years ago.
All right, well, let's just...
I know the scene you're talking about, but...
Yeah, when she first shows up and she's wearing that, like, elastic body tight suit with the thermo optics that she uses for camouflage. Yeah. But you
and
don't realize...
Do that, dive off the roof and...
Yeah. And then, like, fires into a window and...
Ventilates everybody.
Yeah. Literally. She hits that one guy with that, like, explosive bullet, and his head explodes. Just... And it wasn't until I realized, like, a little later on what my problem... What the thing is... She never fucking blinks. Ever. Like, if you remember that one part in the movie where, you know, she's on the boat, you know, she's gone diving, and then she comes back up onto the boat, and she's, like, sitting there on the boat, and then there's that one shot where she's doing that monologue about how, you know, basically, we as humans are all like a bundle of experiences, which are essentially a program. And there's the skyline in the back. It's literally just one continuous shot where that's like slowly sort of does that effect of like the camera panning back so that she becomes bigger and the city becomes smaller. And she doesn't fucking blink once. And it's like, wow, holy shit, she really is fucking off-putting. It is like really deep in the uncanny valley. For the record, it's on purpose. Because, again, she's basically I mean, that's literally who she is. She is basically a human consciousness in a cyborg body. So yep. She doesn't have to, like, blink or anything. And her body actually reacts that way. She never fucking emotes in that whole movie. And it's... You know, it's just weirdly off-putting. And this is especially true if you're watching this with the English dub. Because the voice actress they got for her is very dull. And it's really kind of, like, sort of underwhelming at first. Until you start to realize that if someone like Major Kusaragi actually existed, this is exactly what she would sound like. Because, again, she's a human consciousness in a cyborg body. She has no reason to blink. She basically has no reason to really emote. And she barely even has to eat either. So she's basically just a consciousness and a robot shell. It's fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
But goddamn, that movie is still so good. It still holds up so well. I understand why that movie became such a big fucking deal back when it first released. Because it's that damn good. Really, other than that, well, okay, so you guys remember last week when I talked about how, you know, I had become the victim of identity theft?
Yeah.
And so I had to call the bank, and I had to, like, get those charges reversed, and I had to, like, basically get rid of my old debit card and get a new debit card, which, by the way, I still haven't gotten. It takes, like, 10 to 14 business days.
Mm-hmm.
And up until last night, everything was just fine. I mean, obviously, it's fucking annoying, obviously, but, you know, I had basically done everything I could on my end, and, you know, I got my money back and everything, and so all that's, you know, all of that was taken care of. It's just, now I gotta wait for my card to get here. But when I booted up my PS4 last night, I realized that I wasn't connected to the internet, which, okay, you know, that's not too troubling at first because, you know, that happens on occasion. You get knocked offline and you just have to go back in, right? And I thought that, you know, maybe this was somehow related to when I was the victim of identity theft. And long story short, have you guys ever had a PSN account that ended up getting suspended because of a chargeback issue?
No.
My account has been suspended because of a chargeback issue.
Oh, yeah. If you do a chargeback on a PlayStation purchase, then they'll ban you.
Yeah. So I had to contact, like, one of the people at PlayStation, and I had to give them my info for my account, and, you know, they got to take it up to the specialist, and then they give a verdict on whether or not I get my account back. So I'm basically locked out of my PSN account for the foreseeable future.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So I'm basically locked out of YouTube. I'm locked out of Netflix. I can't use Funimation. Yeah.
That is unhappy.
Yeah. So technically, I can still, like, go online through the web browser that's in the PS4 and do YouTube there, but...
You don't want to do that.
No.
That's like desperation.
It's a bad time.
Yeah.
I think you can just make an alt account. Just get on through that.
I could.
That's true.
Just attach those accounts to the apps there.
Yeah, but I'm kind of at a point now where I don't want to risk it. Because I don't want to end up having that account banned as well. Yeah, so basically, I'm going to have to, like, in the meantime, I'm going to have to probably get, like, a temporary debit card, and I'm going to have to see what the specialists say, if I can get my account back. I hope that I can. There's really no reason I shouldn't, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. The fuck! Yeah, well, anyway, with that, out of the way, do we have anything we want to add before we move on?
Just that when you said brain doesn't work, you're right, because yeah. I just tried to write 745 as 775.
Yeah.
As a quarter of 100.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think you guys are onto something with the heat being too high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. All right. Well, then. With that out of the way, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, oh, I've been sleeping on this one all week. Okay, so, how many of you guys ever watched Finding Nemo?
Yeah.
Yeah. have watched.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a good movie. It's a Pixar. It's pretty good. It's probably like one of the most copied and shamelessly bootlegged movies you can find out there. And I think it's because since everything is mostly just blue, it's really easy to do. So what happens is, because of that, every time another country comes out with like an animated film that's based around fish, they call it, you know, like China's answer to Finding Nemo, or, you know, something like that shit. So how many of you guys knew that you could actually get movies on Steam?
I did not know that until this week, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a thing.
I didn't know either. Huh?
I got Indie Game the Movie on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a certain film that is available on Steam. It's literally the only place right now that you can find it, like in its completion right now, is on Steam. It's an old South Korean film. It originally came out in, I think, 2012. And it's on Steam. It goes under a couple of different titles when you see it, like Swimming to Sea is one that's very common. But if you're looking it on Steam, it's an animated 3D animated film from South Korea, and it's called Paddock. Now, Paddock is a word that specifically in this film has a triple meaning. One, Paddock is a, well, it's the name of the protagonist. It's I believe it's a mackerel. That's what she is, a blue mackerel. It's also an old South Korean onomatopoeia that's meant to simulate the sound of like a fish flopping around on the floor. You know, it's like pod, 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 you get it? And Paddock is also the name of a fried chicken dish that is served in Korea and usually topped with a lot of scallions, which, by the way, is important to the story, as you will soon I will reveal to you now. Okay, so you guys remember, if you've ever watched Finding Nemo, you remember how that movie basically starts. A bunch of fish in the sea, and then fishermen come, capture a bunch of them in the nets. Nemo is one of them, and he ends up in an aquarium in a dentist office, right? Like, I believe that's how it goes. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, Paddock is essentially that, but imagine taking Finding Nemo and combining it with, I don't know, Watership Down, Plague Dogs.
Why would you do such a thing?
The Animals of Farthing Wood.
Why would you do such a thing?
So it's basically about Paddock, who's a mackerel, who gets caught in a fisherman's net, and then ends up getting packed in tightly to a bunch of other mackerel in a aquarium at a fish market. Then she is bought by a owner of a seafood restaurant, and she's then put into the aquarium that, you know, is out, that is put outside.
I'm sorry. I thought I was muted.
Yeah. She ends up getting put in an aquarium with a bunch of other fish in this aquarium that is basically just, that's like set outside of this little seafood restaurant. Specifically, it's a sushi restaurant. And the aquarium that she's in is basically run by this dude who is basically a flatfish. Do you guys know what a flatfish is? It's basically like a little, it's a weirdly, it's like, imagine, like a monkfish or something that you flattened into a pancake. That's basically what a flatfish looks like. And its mouth is also all crooked because it's like, you know, vertical. So when it's talking, because, you know, the nature of this kind of movie, when it's talking, its mouth is kind of opening up and like sideways and shit. It's kind of weird. And the reason this flatfish has managed to become leader is because he's flat enough to actually slither into the, I don't know if you can necessarily call it the grill that's at the bottom of the aquarium. at the bottom of the fish tank so that he can swim into like a little area in there and hide whenever the chef comes to get whatever fish it is that's getting ready to go out. He also has leadership because he claims to have originally come from the sea. For the record, he didn't. He was actually raised in a fish farm. Like, with the exception of Podoc, all of the fish in this little aquarium were from fish farms. And so none of them know what it's like to actually be out in the sea. And so Podoc shows up, and Mr. Flatfish starts freaking the fuck out because he's now got someone who actually challenges his authority. And it's weirdly, like, you could almost weirdly analogous to, like, North Korea or something like that. Because basically, like, Mr. Flatfish basically controls all information that goes in and out of the aquarium. And he's, like, all information, everything is filtered through what he says. And then all of a sudden, Podoc shows up, and Podoc has actually been in the sea, so she knows what's actually happening. And so she starts talking about, actually going out to sea. And then they tell her what happened to the mackerel that was in the tank before her. Just very quickly, have any of you guys ever been, you guys have been to have sushi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To eat, yeah.
So have you guys ever had gone to like a sushi place where there's like an actual sushi chef there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, like, he's making the sushi, and you can see them make it, and you know what goes into making sushi, right? Okay, got good.
Yeah.
So, have you ever heard of a particular form of sushi known as Ikizakuri style?
I don't know it by name.
It's the one where you're basically served a plate of sashimi while the fish is still alive?
Nope.
Like, everything else is served up, but the head is also served up, and it's still, like, gasping for breath?
Nope.
Yeah, that's what happened to the last mackerel that was in that little aquarium.
Yeah, and, you weren't kidding about Watership Down crap there.
And the movie goes quite in depth to show you how sushi is prepared. And, like, there is no screams or cries of pain. It's just the sound of this the chop of this guy's knife and the sh of things being cut. So you're literally just watching a fish getting gutted alive and served up alive on a plate to a bunch of customers.
Brutal.
Oh, it is fucking brutal. SaberSpark actually did, like, a review of this on YouTube, and he basically said, like, this movie inadvertently is probably responsible for making a lot of people turn vegan. And so this restaurant doesn't also just specialize in that particular kind of sushi. They also specialize in something called yin-yang fish. You ever heard of yin-yang fish?
No, not that one.
Yeah. It's a oil-fried whole fish, which, yeah, okay, yeah. Whole fried fish is not an unusual thing, right? It's, you know, a lot of cultures, when they fry up fish, they serve the whole thing, yeah? It's not unusual for, you know, to serve fish with the head still on. It's just a thing. For some reason here in the U.S., it's like a weird cultural thing. We don't like the idea of seeing our food still having a face on it, but outside of it,
a bunch of bottom feeders like catfish.
Yeah. Basically, yin-yang fish is when you oil fry an entire fish while the head is still alive. It's basically the type of, ikizakuri style sashimi, except it's deep fried.
Okay, that's kind of metal.
Yeah, they literally deep fry the fish alive. So, as you can imagine, all the fucking people in this aquarium are fucking scared out of their wits about what could possibly happen. This is one of those movies where literally just about anybody can die, and a lot of people die, and not necessarily just at the hands of humans. Like, Teresa, okay, so you've had a bunch of fish before in your life, so you know this about fish in captivity. Fish are assholes.
Oh, yeah.
They nip at each other.
Yep.
All the time. Yep. When one of them dies, all the other fish fish decide to eat the corpse.
That's what fish do.
Yep. At one point in this movie, not one, but two different fish end up, in an attempt to escape, end up tumbling out of their aquarium down into the crab tank. Yeah, one of them survives. Granted, not without a bunch of scars, and the other one doesn't. The other one ends up just straight up getting eviscerated. At one point, Podoc tries to actually escape into the crab tank to try and get the crabs to help them in their quest to escape back to the sea. And basically, the fucking crabs are just having none of it. So they just try to give her the death with a thousand cuts. Now, she survives. And the only reason she manages to survive is because somebody notices that the wrong fish is in the tank, and so they take Podoc out, and then they put her into another tank for aquarium fish. Now, two things you need to know about what has happened up to this point. One, Podoc has basically been starving for the last 2 days because she refuses to eat any of the dead fish that end up dying in the aquarium like the others do. Because, again, that's what fish do in captivity, right?
Okay.
The other thing you need to know is that the aquarium fish she got put into is an aquarium of a bunch of baby clownfish. You know, little Nemos.
Yep.
So guess what happens?
Well, she gets real hungry, huh?
Yeah, and she straight up just eats a bunch of the little Nemos alive.
She go a little Anakin Skywalker on them?
Yeah. It's kind of like the movie's way of saying, yeah, this ain't fucking Finding Nemo, kid. Now, I'm not going to spoil the ending of this movie because it's a fucking gut punch. But if you've got the time and you've got a Steam account, I highly recommend watching this movie. It's a good fucking movie, but holy shit, is it grim. And that's been Brandon's Random Factoid for this week.
Very interesting.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you got 90 minutes to spare and you got a Steam account, watch it. It's actually really good. It's all subtitled. There's no English voice acting. Also, realize that it is also technically a musical, although... Funny enough, the musical parts actually always happen in, like, a different animation style. And some of it is, like, surreal and psychedelic as fuck. But, yeah. So, go watch it if you can. And if you can't watch it, watch the reviews of it on YouTube from people like SaberSpark. Because believe me, what I have said in words cannot do justice to what this movie actually looks like. All right. Okay, so moving on from there, it's now time for the show proper. And as always, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And gather around, folks, because we got a big old bucket of assholes to give you. So, first and foremost, as you probably know, even though the news doesn't really talk about it anymore, protests are still happening rather regularly all over the country. Yeah. And they're still drawing really big crowds, too. So, even though the media isn't talking about it, this shit is still happening. And, this week, one asshole decided to, barrel into a bunch of protesters in Seattle, killing one and injuring another.
Yep. The woman that was killed was 24-year-old Summer Taylor,
mm-hmm.
Who, while protesting, was also working as a veterinarian, during the off time, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they got pictures here of the vehicle. Yeah, struck two protesters on I-5 in the morning, still investigating. It's a 27-year-old man, a white Jaguar sedan, and they're not sure what the motive is yet, but I think it's probably because he's a right-winger or something like that, but yeah.
Could be nose candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could just be an asshole. Like, yeah. That's also not...
Yeah.
Assholery knows no ideology. Believe me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this asshole killed someone and injured another. So fuck them. All right. So that's our first asshole of the week. Our next asshole is that perennial asshole of assholes, ICE.
Yep.
ICE is wanting international students on visa to leave the country if their college goes for online-only courses this fall.
Okay, well, there's one problem with that. What if their country of origin doesn't have as not quite free, but unregulated internet access as we have?
Well, it makes you think they care.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, the thing you might not be aware of is that ICE is the one that covers student visas, I believe.
Yep. And guess who's been cracking down like crazy over the last 4 years on those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why there was that story that happened, I think it was earlier this year, where they basically made up a fake university to lure students in.
Yeah.
Potential immigrant students. And arrested them, deported them for trying to get an education.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they continue being ICE.
Oh yeah, yeah. So
a number of the universities, like a lot of the Harvard and all those Ivy League schools, were revealing their plans for the year for the fall. And I think Harvard's the one that's doing online only.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the others are trying to do like a portion of their normal numbers, but yeah, Harvard was definitely doing online only, and so they're very much, I think, suing ICE over these requirements because they want their students protected, you know, as they should, especially for the money they're trying to charge people for online only education.
Yeah,
yep.
They're basically saying like it's exactly the same price. It's like, oh, all of the education, but none of the networking opportunities or all that stuff that you'd want out of Harvard education.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's ICE being ICE, pissing off the all other right. branches of ICE that are not assholes.
Mm-hmm. And, all right, so, other assholes. So, you know how there were all those PPP loans that went out after COVID started striking, you know, a bunch of money that needed to go out to keep a bunch of, like, small businesses and shit afloat?
Yep.
Yeah, a bunch of churches and other religious orgs got approved for them.
Oh, yeah. Separation That's of right. church and state. But yeah, so let's see, about nearly 10,000 Catholic churches to hundreds of Jewish groups received 88,411 Paycheck Protection Program loans. Because I think Monday, the Treasury Department released the whole list of all the companies that got loans. A lot of it's like reasonable stuff, but people notice, like, oh, there's a ton of churches on this list and religious schools, and I think Scientology also is on there.
Yeah.
A bunch of stuff like that. Yeah, churches especially is egregious because they don't pay taxes. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be getting tax money assistance. They're supposed to be private businesses. So hey, if they want to get taxpayer money, they can start paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they should be doing.
Yep.
Especially churches affiliated with Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Amassed at least $17.3 million in loans. Like, mega churches even got loans and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all people right. will keep digging into those lists and finding even more bullshit. I think there's also a lot of, like, companies attached to, let's say, people in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Also got loans. You know, a lot of potentially corruption-style stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit.
I think there was one that was somebody that ran on an anti-bailout campaign, taking a bailout here. Mm-hmm. Textbook Trump generation corruption there.
All right. Furthermore, Some of y'all probably heard about this week. A couple of assholes, a couple tried to paint over a Black Lives Matter street mural. Basically, they were in a van. They drove up to the B at the Black Lives Matter that's, you know, painted on the road. And tried to paint over it with black paint. And, of course, they ran out of paint, like, very quickly. And so they were like, oh, we got to go and get some more paint. And, of course, they never came back.
Yeah.
This is well, real sweet.
They've been charged with a hate crime.
Yeah. Yep. It says, when reached by phone by CNN, Nelson, 53, said, I have no comment for you anyway. And they were wearing, I think, a MAGA hat.
Shocking.
Or something.
Yeah.
No. It was a red Trump shirt that said 4 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was the one filming.
Yeah, I saw the video of the one guy who's like, what are you doing? You know, being not confrontational at all. I saw the guy was filming. I was like, I want to see what his feet looks like. What he's saying over there. Because you can't really hear much of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the woman that's talking about how bad this is. Black Lives Matter stuff.
Yeah, I guess the woman mouthed off while she was painting. She said, this is not happening in my town, and suggesting that Black Lives Matter murals should be kept in New York.
Yeah.
Wasn't the first Black Lives Matter mural actually painted in D.C.?
Right, and she was in California, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this, like, Northern Republican California? Because her skirt leads me to believe that she is extremely religious. Nobody wears fucking long denim skirts anymore, except for a particular demographic.
Martinez, California, which is, let's see, that's around the middle.
Oh, it's a population of 35.
Just outside of Oakland and San Francisco.
Yep.
So it's a suburb. What the fuck?
Kind of, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You're not in bunker land. What am I missing here?
Oh, it's this whole thing called racism that makes anybody that has it extremely stupid.
Yeah.
They are willing to do very stupid things that normal people that are not racist would not do. It's the great equalizer.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
So, there was a particular older white woman who got in a bit of an altercation at a Home Depot.
Is it in Chenery, Illinois?
Teresa? Yeah, in Illinois.
Wait, let me take a look at
it. It says M-C-H-E-N-R-Y.
Oh, it's McHenry County.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, she whipped off her mask and she basically threatened to cough on someone. And then someone was filming her and said, lady, you're disrespecting yourself and everybody else here in this store. He's like, do you think you're entitled to some? She says, yeah, of course I am. I'm white. I'm a woman. I'm entitled.
Yeah, look at her. She's wearing a Kate Spade bag, and she's wearing a shirt that other people would call her a slut for wearing if she wasn't white.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, when the woman questioned her further and asked her what being white had to do with her getting her way, she responded, because I'm a white woman, that's what happens. I believe in white power.
And there we go.
That's fucking McHenry County. Sadly, not that far from me.
The only place in Illinois where you can find Confederate flags.
I highly doubt that because it's like almost in Wisconsin. Oh, I rest my case. You're right, Brandon.
let's see. The person filming said at this point, Hill swung at her, took off her face mask as they struggled on the ground. Fist fighting, ripping my hair out, and scratching.
Oh, yeah, they
me
beat
sick.
The ever-loving crap out
Lord
of her.
Lord knows
too.
What would have spewed out of this racist human's mouth if I wasn't white. And then she just told Northwest Herald that the fight left her with bruises, but nothing serious enough to require immediate medical attention. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I have bruises everywhere. My shoulders hurt. Nothing's broken.
Oh, boo-hoo.
That's the woman that fought her. The one that filmed it.
Oh.
Yeah, her Facebook post, went viral. Yeah, props to you for knocking her out. What a terrible waste of a human.
Mm-hmm.
She threatened you with a deadly virus. Call the police. Have her removed. Yeah. She got arrested for battery.
Mm-hmm.
Or charged with battery. I'm trying to see if there's anything else.
Oh, I'm sure she'll get some sort of ostracizing in the community.
Yeah.
But McHenry is a little rural compared to here. Again, yeah. Not that far away. Like 25 minutes, but still. Huh? No, McHenry's not that far. It's where frickin' what's her name lives. The Libertarian. Yeah, her.
Oh, you mean JoJo?
No. This is a personal...
someone you actually know? Okay.
We all.
And if you're wondering what we're talking... Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. And if you're wondering who we're talking about when we mention JoJo, we're not talking about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. But if you're on Facebook or Twitter long enough, you'll find out. But yeah, that's it for our assholes of the week. So moving on from there to sort of get that taste out of our mouth. We got some heroes of the week. Thanks to the efforts of activists, Dominion and Duke Energy have actually canceled plans for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline project.
Yeah, there's going to be a natural gas pipeline that's stretched from across West Virginia, Virginia, and North Carolina, citing legal uncertainty, mainly because of what the next story is. Yeah, this was announced in 2014. Lots of criticism, legal challenges. And they finally just gave up, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
It's encouraging. Maybe we can stop more of them.
Yeah. All right. So, including others that are getting not so much shut down yet, but it's close to good. The Dakota Access Pipeline is being shut down for review after being ordered so by a federal judge.
Yeah. And initially, the person running that pipeline was going to defy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure what the current thing is, but they've got 30 days to shut it down. While the Army Corps of Engineers works to prepare an environmental impact statement for a rural relaxation allowed it to cross the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had already ruled that the Corps of Engineers had violated environmental laws when it gave Dakota Access an easement to construct a segment of the pipeline. And so hopefully this ends with them just shutting it all down.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a disaster. Spewing oil all over the place where they, fucked up setting this whole thing up.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so next up, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. We know about him through the impeachment of Donald Trump. He is announced that he is retiring from the military due to the White House's campaign of bullying, intimidation, and retaliation.
Yeah, yep. This is so disappointing. I mean, how have we gotten here as a society that we can allow the top of our government to do this to a person? Although, they did a lot of shit to other people.
Yeah, when they convince themselves that he is an enemy of the state, the way they did.
Yeah.
Because they don't care about military the way they proclaim themselves.
No.
Or else they wouldn't be trying to tear down Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah.
Because she was trying to stick up for Vindman, trying to delay things so that he could get his promotion.
Yeah.
It
is so weird how they flip-flopped in just a matter of, 10 years about that whole thing, about support the troops are always right, and then, within a decade, suddenly you start getting people like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and Senator Duckworth, who, lost her legs in the line of duty and, didn't even retire from the military because of that. She still managed to re-enlist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got Tucker Carlson questioning her.
Oh, that asshole. Yeah.
Him and Trump are tag teaming on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she gave her
two draft dodgers.
Yeah. Yep.
She's lost her legs fighting for this country. She can say whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm. Not only that was in Iraq.
Yeah.
Like the America's other Vietnam.
Yep. 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 Too many people lost too much there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a bunch of Democrats that are mad at, what's his position here? I think it's the Secretary of Defense, Esper, for saying he would protect Vindman from any sort of retaliation from Trump.
And then did Jack Swat.
Yeah, that obviously that they have not done so. Yeah, she's blocking Senate confirmation of 1,123 senior U.S. Armed Force promotions until she received assurances that Vindman's promotion wouldn't be blocked.
Yeah.
And sort of now that he's given up.
Yeah. Vote, people. Go out and vote.
Yep.
When November comes, vote. And also, I'm increasingly now hoping that Joe Biden actually decides to make her his vice presidential nominee.
Yeah, I wonder how much longer it's going to take before anything is announced.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't actually hear it until the convention.
You know, that would be good. Why blow everything in the trailers, pretty much, of the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have a online one for the Dems. It's going to be physical for Republicans, except for, like, the people presenting speeches.
Yeah, yes, because the people they're smart enough they're smart enough to realize that the unwashed masses can be sacrificed, but we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would think that that would cause a lot of those people to stop and question, but they don't.
They're not capable of that.
Unfortunately.
But anyway. Yeah, so next up, let's see. Patty Mills from the San Antonio Spurs is donating all of his salary to social justice causes. So
yeah, for the rest of the season that they're doing, which for them at least is 8 games, which he says is $1,017,818.54. Donating that directly to Black Lives Matter Australia, Black Deaths in Custody, and a recent campaign called We Got You, which is dedicated to ending racism in sport in Australia. He's playing in Orlando because he says, so I'm playing in Orlando because I don't want to leave any money on the table. It could be going directly to black communities.
Yeah. Yeah. So good shit. All right. Yep. So that is the end of the show proper. And now it's time to move on to the proper show proper. And everybody get out of the way because we are backing up another load from the COVID-19 dump truck.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. So, worldwide, there are now 12.4 million cases. About 558,000 people have died because of it. Of those 12.4 million cases, 3.2 million of them are within the United States. And of those deaths, about 134,000 are within the U.S. So, we are officially the new global hotspot for the fucking virus. And we have taken the lion's share of infections and deaths.
Yes.
Yeah, we are almost doubling Brazil. Brazil's got its own shit. That's what Bolsonaro has it now.
Yep. Said, no, I can't wear a mask. Wearing a mask is a faggot thing. Yes, that is literally a word from word, his quote.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. He also voted against a health package that would give free PPE equipment to the indigenous population. Because, again, he's that big of an asshole.
Yeah, he doesn't like
He's been trying to fuck them over all along.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Brazil, in general, has been trying to fuck them over all along. Yeah. It's just that Bolsonaro is a child of the old military dictatorship, and... Well...
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance, read up a bit about the military junta that ruled Brazil for, like, 40 years... quite interesting reading. And, Bolsonaro does play into it. You'll find out how. Spain's COVID-19 antibody study shows herd immunity is simply not possible.
Yep.
That is very discouraging.
Yeah. Basically, the antibodies really don't last that long.
Yeah, they did a large-scale study, indicated just 5% of its population had developed antibodies. strengthening evidence that a so-called herd immunity of COVID-19 is unachievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say that still about 95% of their population remains susceptible to it. So yeah, it doesn't seem like the antibodies really last that long.
Mm-hmm.
Like people like to push as a fact. Before, yeah. While they did any studies.
I mean, it would be great if people who had it could just go out and, you know, do whatever with zero consequences, but
yeah,
it's not the case. We need the vaccine.
Yep.
No.
So bad.
Yeah, but the economy...
people are still working on that vaccine around the clock.
Yeah.
And they're getting close to one, but takes time. Yeah.
What the fuck is time anymore?
Yeah. Next up, Trump... is got a thing he's calling Operation Warp Speed, which is committing about $1.6 billion to Novavax, which is a vaccine maker.
Yeah. It's a Maryland biotech company.
Yeah.
They're the fourth company to receive federal funds to conduct large-scale Phase 3 clinical trials, manufacture its COVID-19 vaccine. Each trial is expected to include 30,000 people. So yeah, AstraZeneca was one of the previous ones, $1.2 billion. Moderna and Johnson & Johnson have also received contracts. So they're fucking giving out money left and right.
Yep.
Hopefully one of them works.
God, I hope so. Just to also show just how ass-backwards this whole thing is... Trump is absolutely insisting that he wants to force state and local leaders to reopen schools in the fall.
Yeah, no.
Uh-huh.
Because we know kids are not magnets of viruses.
No, not at all. I mean, the studies just don't show that. There's no headlines showing that.
You never hear about parents getting sick because of their stupid kids.
Never!
They don't sit there
and getting the adults that work with them sick.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of the kids, they don't get sick at all. No, none of them have died from this. No.
The joke here, of course, is that a bunch of them have died from this. It is true that kids are among the least likeliest to actually suffer little, if any, ramifications from it.
Yeah.
But there are always exceptions.
Well, we know there's respiratory issues in kids that do get it.
Yeah, that basically stay with you. Yeah. Why?
We still don't know full ramifications of what COVID-19 has for people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what sort of issues do you have, weeks later, months later, years later?
Yeah.
How that affects, because I think I've seen even young people that have had and recovered are more susceptible to strokes and diabetes, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And it's this isn't great. Nobody should want any of this.
Yeah.
Fucking wear a mask, yep. You dumb pieces of shit.
Yeah.
My freedoms. Yeah, I'm really glad that in Illinois our schools start after everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the poll that I got last week, I'm not positive our school is going to reopen. I certainly hope they don't. But right now.
They sent surveys to get your thoughts on what's going on?
They did. Yes, okay. They did. And it was an interesting survey in that they asked who rides the bus, who's walking or biking to school, and who's being taken by car. And then, hey, parents of kids who ride the bus, can you take them by car every day? Can you do this for us?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
What about carpools? Interest. That's not going to be a thing people are going to do.
That was in there. They said, does your kid go to school with another family and not you in the car? But they were also gauging interest in hot lunches for Thursdays and Fridays. And then the one thing that they mentioned, and I mean, this just seemed so sad. I mean, we all went to public school, right? For at least part of our time. It's like, well, sitting in the lunchroom 6 feet apart, or sitting in the classroom 6 feet apart for lunch. And I'm like, oh, God. I think it would almost be better for the kids to be at home and not see who they wanted to talk to, because they're either going to shout and spread the germs,
yeah.
or they're not going to be allowed to talk and be miserable. It would almost be better not to even see them You know, it's like
imagine trying to put masks on hundreds of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then make sure they go to the bathroom and wash their hands.
Yeah, well, then again, I'm also going to say what I said to somebody else. The teachers have far more control and influence over the kids than the parents do because parents don't know how to parent. A lot of the teachers can get the kids to comply with things like that because that's just the way it is. They set that expectation that, hey, you have to listen to me. It's important. And you're going to listen to me. And parents don't because parents are lazy. And, you know, I might be lazy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similar note, I got a survey from Regal Cinema. It's like gauging me on like, well, what's the likelihood of you coming back in? This year it's like, oh, that's pretty low. It's like, what, you know, what are these things? Like PPE stuff they were doing and cleaning stuff. It's like, what makes you more likely to come in? It's like, fucking all of it? Like about masks and like, you know, cordoning off certain seats, like every other seat or whatever. All that kind of shit. And it's like, most likely no. Doesn't also help that we don't know when anything is coming out in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Tenet, which gets delayed 2 weeks every 2 weeks.
Yep.
So, who knows when anything is going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. Okay. About 1.3 million people filed for unemployment last week, which makes it 48 million people in 15 weeks.
Yeah.
We're at like 15% unemployment now.
I think we've gone down a little bit, like 11%.
Oh, okay. Still too much.
Yeah. These are like first-time unemployment benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily consecutive. People are doing it every week, but... let's see. Number of people... collecting ongoing benefits is just over 18 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as bad as it could be, but yeah, it's June's unemployment rate was down to 11.1%. May's was 13.3%, so it's going down, but
yeah,
who knows how long that's going to last?
Yeah,
some of these areas are going back up quickly.
Yeah. I don't know, man. The only lead I have, nothing's happened, and I was hoping something would. That I would have something lined up by the time my unemployment runs out, which is very, 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 very soon.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like that.
It doesn't look like they're going to renew any of that shit.
No.
Thank you, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it, like mine caps out at like 5,500 or so, which is kind of low, I think. But I'm a contract worker, so maybe it's different. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I feel really bad for people who are trying to stay afloat and pay bills on this. I mean, if we didn't have another income that was okay for right now, we'd be fucked.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to start happening is evictions and all that good stuff.
They are like... Now that July is here, they're able to start processing them and prosecuting them, I guess.
Yeah.
But they've, like, landlords have been filing this whole time.
Yeah.
It's just that the filings were piling up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of people are saying don't blow through your savings because we're in, like, day one of the next 5 years of the economic,
downturn?
Yeah, and fallout from this.
Yeah.
And people are advising, but saying, you know, use your own judgment too. Don't go blowing your savings just to stay in a place because
I know AOC was doing some sort of like conference thing, sort of saying like, here's how you defend yourself in terms of potentially getting evicted and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For people that, you know, generally don't know because there's never been this sort of mass thing going on with evictions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it happens every once in a while normally, but not like entire buildings worth of people.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially getting kicked out, and that's, you know, it's bad just for tenants, but also for the landlords who, you know, don't have any money coming in. They lose their source of income if they're not doing something else as well. Yeah, it's like, you need to cancel rent. Just say,
it'd also be that,
well, what you're going to end up seeing is a lot of these units getting picked up by the big companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to swoop in and own so much more real estate than they had before.
Mm.
Because the small guys are not going to be able to afford it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's going to be fucked.
Or, we could just end the whole system of landlordship altogether.
Listen, they can't even get us a second $1,200 check.
Yeah.
Much less do anything good on top of that.
Yeah, well, who said we had to wait for the government to do it?
Yeah.
Make the world you want it to be. All right, so, over there, Michael Cohen's actually going back to prison after refusing his terms of home confinement. And there's actually been talk about specific reasons why he was doing this. One of them is the theory that he is being sent back to prison because he refused to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, that's part of the agreement that he was given for home confinement.
Mm-hmm.
It said, no engagement of any kind with the media, including print, TV, film, books, or any other form of media/news.
And he was like, fuck that, I'll go back to prison.
Yeah, I was like, alright, sure.
Yeah.
You could have just sat at home and watched Netflix, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then some sad news. Nick Cordero, a veteran of Broadway and the theater, he died this week after being in the hospital with COVID for over 90 days.
Yeah.
He was only in his 40s, too.
Yeah, yeah. What a sad, sad story that
is. If you need signs that maybe you should put on your fucking mask, he was 41. Mm-hmm. He was in good health. And this just fucking ravaged him pretty quickly. Like, they had to amputate his leg just to help him survive this long.
Yeah.
It's not even just the virus. It causes, a succession of health setbacks, including many strokes, blood clots, septic infections, tracheostomy, temporary pacemaker implanted, been on a ventilator, unconscious, had his right leg amputated, double lung transplant. Was being explored.
Mm.
Like, that's just 90 days right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see something that's more uncomfortable than a mask, look up what a ventilator looks like when they put it in you.
Oh, yeah.
That is way worse.
Oh, way worse.
Like, imagine having something shoved down your throat into your lungs.
Yeah.
Nope.
I've had to, have talks with members of my family about the masses. Like, I'm worried about, they're like, I'm worried about my health and, what this is going to do to my immune system. I'm like, your immune system is pretty strong already.
And guess what? If you're dead, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also, doctors have used their sensors for, breathing flow for the masks. And it's like, yeah, it's exactly the same with it off. It's pretty much no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there'll be some people that have normal breathing issues, but that's not the 99% that are bitching about it.
All it does is make it a little bit warmer and a little bit more humid.
Yeah. It's not great when it's 90-plus degrees outside.
I mean, it's the same smaller concept is putting a scarf around your mouth and nose when you're out in the fucking cold in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
For people who have to wear scarves.
Yeah, but you see, I'm an American. I should not be inconvenienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you also wear gym shorts year-round, even though you live in fucking Saskatchewan. So, well, that's not in America, though. But it's really cold there.
I am a former American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I should not have my American rights violated here in Canada.
Mm.
I don't know, man. I don't know if there's any Canadians that are part of the gym short crew. I can't understand
that. I'm sure there is. There are people who go swimming in the frozen lakes. I'm sure there's Canadians that wear shorts.
I guess they just don't want to admit that they want something comfy, and they're not going to wear what are those things called? Gym sweats? Sweatpants? Sweatpants.
Yeah.
They just need to bring it back, says the person who got hammer pants this week and fucking loves them. Just going to leave that there.
We'll just bring, yeah. We'll bring Jenko's back.
No, oh, God. I don't want those back.
No. Just actually, they already beat you to the punch. Jinkos are already a thing again now.
Yeah, we need like sweatpant versions of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for some of you who are too young to know what Jinkos were a brand of blue jeans that were specifically designed to be oversized. And there was a particular size of them that was like the mammoth size. That was, like, so big that you could actually stick two legs in one pant leg.
Yeah.
And, you know, they used to be, like, so long and unwieldy that, like, it was normal for people to, like, use paper clips and shit to, you know, pin them up so you could actually walk in them.
And you had those. You had your chain wallet.
Yep.
Yep.
Chain wallet and your, your fucking, like, blaze-tipped, pointy hair.
And the shirt that looks like it was from a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the, yeah. the 90s
Instead of Tide Pods, we had Warheads.
That was basically, like, the turn of the millennium fashion.
Yeah.
Basically. That's what we were all wearing when we were in high school.
We said, fuck your bell bottoms. Literally, the whole thing is a fucking bell.
Yeah.
The whole leg.
I'm looking at him on Imgur, and my kid just walked by and pointed at the TV and laughed at this one kid, and I'm like, okay, and then he walked off. It's like, just wait, kid. We're going to make fun of your stuff, too.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, I'm looking at Imgur's and laughing, and I'm just like, God, what were we thinking?
And we just needed something different.
We had too much denim.
It was a lot of denim. I mean, they can't get away with that now, man. We don't even make enough American long staple cotton to make three pairs of those.
Now they sell denim pants without the denim.
Yeah. Would you believe I never had a pair of JNCOs?
You know, you would be like the right age for that, though.
Yeah, but I was. Because those things were... Weird. Okay, look, so here's what you need to know. I actually didn't... my freshman year of high school was in 2001. So, I was actually still in middle school when these things were popular. Just to show you how both old and young I am at the same time. Yeah. But I was aware of them. I saw a fuck ton of other kids wearing them. Well, I say a fuck ton. The white kids.
Yeah.
Because black people wouldn't be dead in that shit.
Nope.
I know somebody's like, well, of course, their pants were baggy enough as it is. Might be true, but it doesn't mean I have to like it.
God, no. The back pockets that went almost all the way down to the fucking...
Yeah, they basically went all the way down to your fucking knee.
Yeah, you put, like, your wallet in there, it takes you 20 minutes to get it out.
Yeah, you basically had to, like, bend down and, like, go in fetal just so you could reach in.
That's
and
why you
need
the
it.
Chain, so you just pull
yeah,
the chain.
Yeah, that's why the chain was there.
It's like, I'm the dumbass that bought this thing, and
yeah.
I gotta get chained to pull my wallet out because I'm too stupid. Right. Just wear normal fucking jeans.
Yeah, well, all right, and we got a bunch of SCOTUS stories because SCOTUS also had a few cases they decided this week. One is that the states can force all quote-unquote faithless electors in the Electoral College to vote for what their district picked. So we've talked about the Electoral College before. Theoretically, it's supposed to be this thing that makes it so that the big states don't, you know, be overrepresented compared to the least populated states. In practice, all it does is disenfranchise urban voters.
Yep.
Well, if you also remember, this basically essentially destroys the whole need for what the Electoral College theoretically is supposed to be. The other reason, which was, unless the people make a really bad, stupid choice, and so they're supposed to act as a check on that. Well, that just went out the window.
Yeah, well, 2016 happened and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Everyone, so it was never going to happen.
So it's basically at this point, like, there is no reason to keep the Electoral College now. Functionally, yeah. There is no reason.
Yeah.
Because the Supreme Court basically just wiped that out with one fell swoop. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess. On the one hand, it still keeps the Electoral College in place, but on the other hand, it kind of cuts the knees out from under it. Because it basically just correct any reason it now has to exist.
Yeah.
Now, do I think that was their intention? Fuck no.
They're just nerding it up, going by the technicalities.
Yeah.
Now we're like, technically, we don't need this fucking overcomplicated bullshit system.
Yeah.
Let's just do the thing where the one number is bigger than the other number of people that voted for them.
Yeah. And the other boneheaded decision they made this week is they upheld the Trump administration rule allowing insurers to not offer birth control with the Affordable Care Act.
Yep.
Now keep in mind, that rule will only exist as long as Trump himself is president. And fingers crossed, he won't be here by this time next year.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't, they can never get a replacement for it, so all you can do is sit here and dig at it.
Yep. It's true. But, now for some good, decisions. One is, and this was kind of the big one, Trump is not immune to requests for his taxes by New York or the House Democrats.
Yep.
And when this decision came down, he lost his shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I missed, like, all the tweets and stuff. What was going on there?
Yeah.
So he said, the Supreme Court sends case back to lower court. Arguments to continue. This is all political prosecution. I won the Mueller witch hunt and others, and now I have to keep fighting in a politically corrupt New York. Not fair to this president or administration.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you're being held accountable.
Yeah.
For what you've done.
Apparently, he was granted a 45-day stay on having to get his taxes out there, but that can basically be rescinded at any point now. So it's kind of a matter of time.
Yeah, he just can't complain claim that he is, because he's president, he's immune to requests like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is always bullshit.
Yeah, it's true. And finally, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that about half of the state of Oklahoma is Native American land.
Yep. Yeah, so what this specifically is tied to as far as criminal and civil cases.
Mm-hmm.
So those that happen on what is now considered Native American land has to be heard in federal court.
Mm-hmm.
Versus state courts. So there's a lot of decisions that could get contested on the grounds that, you know, they had no legal standing to make these decisions.
Oh, I love this. I love this.
Yeah.
I so love this.
Yeah, I think unfortunately the person that sort of spearheaded this whole thing is, let me see if I can find the person here. If they describe what he did. Yeah, Jim C. McGirt. An enrolled member of the Seminole Nation of Oklahoma was convicted of sex crimes against a child on Creek land. In post-conviction proceedings, McGirt argued that the state lacked jurisdiction in the case, that he must be retried in federal court. And the high court agreed. So, potentially, maybe good news overall, but not the greatest reason to start this.
No. Yeah, it kind of grew out of something awful, but
hopefully it leads to better things in the future.
Yeah. So that's the end of the SCOTUS stories. And other legal fuckery. President Trump commuted Roger Stone's prison sentence this week.
Can I express my extreme shock over this?
I'm just shocked. Shocked.
Uh-huh.
Not that shocked, but still.
Yeah, before he even started it, he was supposed to surrender on July 14th, but they, federal court, appeals court denied Stone's emergency motion to delay that surrender date.
Yep.
And so that pushed Trump to get this done faster, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Saying Roger Stone has already suffered greatly. No, he hasn't. He was treated very unfairly. No, he admitted to this shit. As were many others in this case, Roger Stone is now a free man, I guess. He can go continue being a weird fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Who dresses like if the Penguin from the old Batman show was a real person.
Yeah, basically. If you ever get a chance, they did, like, I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix, there's like a whole documentary dedicated to this guy.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. you know who his like mentor and protege was? Well, not his protege, but his mentor was.
Oh, who?
It was Roy Cohn.
Also, well, he's such
Joe
a smart person,
man.
Brandon, you know what his back tattoo is?
Yeah, it's a portrait of Richard Nixon.
That's
yeah,
the
he's got
person
a,
this
a
is.
Tattoo wow. of Richard Nixon on his back.
That's a level
yeah.
of.
He was also, if I remember, he was the youngest person who was basically required to testify during Watergate as a member of the Nixon administration. There was like a knit list of like 17 people that they had to bring in, and he was the youngest person on there.
yeah. Also, the statement from the press secretary regarding this is some big old bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Today, President Donald J. Trump signed an executive grant of clemency, commuting the unjust sentence of Roger Stone Jr. Roger Stone is a victim of the Russian hoax that the left and its allies in the media perpetuated for years in an attempt to undermine the Trump presidency. There was never any collusion between the Trump campaign or the Trump administration with Russia. That's not what his sentencing was about at all.
Nope.
It was about him intimidating witnesses and all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Such collusion was never anything other than a fantasy of partisans unable to accept the results of the 2016 election. The collusion delusion spawned endless and farcical investigations conducted at great taxpayer expense looking for evidence that did not exist. There's plenty of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
It became clear that these witch hunts would never bear fruit. The special counsel's office resorted to process-based charges leveled at high-profile people in an attempt to manufacture the false impression of criminality lurking below the surface. He admitted to this. These mm-hmm. charges were the product of recklessness, born of frustration and malice. And there's still several more paragraphs.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham tried to defend him, saying this is the right thing. He's in his 70s. He's 67.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsey Graham, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta send you back to South Carolina where you belong. Because he is not. One of the best things, if you go look at people that have compiled videos of Republicans before Trump got picked as the nominee and
mm-hmm.
Recent, and it's like complete 180s. Because they're the party of Trump, right? It'll be amazing mm-hmm. to see what happens if he loses.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that got to be deprogrammed, and when people that are still around the GOP as far as their positions
yeah.
are going to make sure and let them know, no, this is what you were. You don't get to say you hated him all along.
Yeah.
Because you stuck up for him every single time.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sticking up for him every single time, so right around the time Jeffrey Epstein was arrested, there was a video that – I mean not a video but a photograph that was going around, and it was a photograph of Epstein and, you know, his ex-girlfriend / procuress, Mrs. Maxwell. And the other is with now President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump. And because as I think we talked about this last week, Maxwell is now arrested and is awaiting trial now, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We definitely talked about it last week, though.
Yeah. So Fox News talked about it, and they very haphazardly – I'm actually surprised how sloppy they did this. They actually cut President Trump out of the picture. But you could still see like half of Melania in it.
Oh, she's all in it.
Yeah.
It's like, you realize this isn't what you should have all cut out here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Fox News came forward this week apologizing for mistakenly cutting him out of the picture with Epstein and Maxwell for a segment.
Yeah. Yeah, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
They did that so they could, at worst, do this apology after nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they did not crop out Melania.
Nope.
So, good job.
Mm-hmm.
Be best.
Ugh. Yeah. Speaking of Fox News, you guys remember Shepard Smith?
Yep.
Yeah, good dude.
Yeah, he was, let's be honest, probably one of the last three or four like real news anchors they had on that network. Yeah, he's going to be joining CNBC with a new evening show.
Yep. Yeah, 1 hour evening news program on weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
Called The News with Shepard Smith. Launching this fall, and his new title will be Chief General News Anchor and Chief Breaking General News Anchor, which are largely what he had before.
That was what he did at Fox.
Yeah.
Chief News Anchor of the network and Managing Editor of the Breaking News Division.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Part of me thinks that the moment he left that network, he probably gave the biggest sigh of relief any person has ever had to give.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there for 23 years.
He was there pretty much as long as the network itself has lasted.
Yeah.
Because Fox News, I think, actually became a thing in, I think, the mid-90s. Like around 96, 97. And he was pretty much there on the ground floor. So, yeah, he's been there for a while.
Should be interesting to see what happens when he starts criticizing Trump. How Trump reacts to that. Because he kind of hates Fox News whenever they criticize him.
Yeah.
Which is more and more these days. Because mm-hmm. there's not much he's doing that's defensible.
Yeah. So, from that to some other shenanigans. God, I cannot believe I'm fixing to say this following sentence, but here we go. Kanye West is claiming that he's running for president in 2020.
Yeah, other than missing most of the deadlines.
Yeah.
For getting on any of the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
This is not happening. And what I've seen of like black people on Twitter, like, God, we don't need this now. Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we've had enough of your bullshit, and this is not helping anything. They said, we must now realize the promise of America by trusting God, unifying our vision, and building our future. I am running for the president of the United States. Hashtag 2020 vision. I think he said since then that he denounces Trump, but nobody knows like what anything about his platform.
No, he made his form pretty clear later on, and immediately introduced Elon Musk to the concept of regret.
Oh yes,
to be Trey Parker and Matt Stone right now would be indescribable.
Oh yeah. Oh man, just all of the jokes.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, they've built up quite the library of jokes related to Kanye, and this way they could basically just play a whole episode of nothing but them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the big thing is, like, nobody knows if he's actually filed any of the paperwork necessary to run mm-hmm. for president, which he's missed most of, and, like, what party he is.
Yeah.
Because I guess the only candidate named Kanye West in the FEC database for 2020 election year is a Green Party candidate named, quote, Kanye D's Nuts West. So, yeah, serious candidates only in the Green Party.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So, in other news, 4th of July happened last week, like we said, and the president had his own little 4th of July party. It kind of it was about as well attended as basically every 4th of July barbecue was across the nation.
I'd say maybe more so.
Perhaps
from
a little
some of
bit
these videos.
More. Yeah. And because basically no music act was willing to actually go out there, or they weren't willing to pay enough. Yeah, got a bunch of the military bands to show up. But, yeah, United States military has a bunch of different music groups within it. They got you know, the regular, like, Marine vocal choir. They've also got, you know, a bunch of, like, amateurish, like, rock and ska bands within it. They've also got a choir. We'll get to that. But, so we've got footage of a band covering Bruno Mars.
Who are what?
Not very well.
This is where you see like the size of the crowd.
It's like. Let me put it this way. You guys have been to a wedding after party, right? It was like a wedding band.
Yeah, that quality. Maybe less so, I don't know. But yeah, these are people that can't really say no.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they feel bad for them a little bit. Also, yeah, like this one clip shows like the size of the crowd that got up for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a handful of people.
Yeah.
It's like when you're at like the family reunion, like everybody's just sitting down bullshitting and like two or three people go up to actually do anything interesting.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing, idiots?
Yeah. They also did a Save Ferris cover of Come On Eileen.
This is a different band.
It was a ska band.
Yeah, which is people realizing that there is a ska cover of Come On Eileen.
I did not know that there was a ska cover of Come On Eileen. I wish now that I didn't know that there was a ska cover of Come On Eileen.
It is actually pretty good. Save Ferris does
yeah,
it.
Yeah, their version is.
Yeah. I'm saying that's the ska cover.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people found out about that through this.
Mm-hmm.
This was at the Mount Rushmore thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, okay, sure, whatever.
Because mm-hmm.
after this, they had people, reenactors of the presidents that are on Mount Rushmore, doing mm-hmm. speeches. And it's as dumb as you think.
Yeah. Honestly, go to, you know, the Hall of Presidents in Disney World. It's better.
Yeah. Here.
And we don't have it written about here, but they also had the mostly white military choir doing a version of the Lion King theme.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Now, for the record, and I will say this, that lady has some pipes on her.
Yeah, those are pretty good. It was a pretty good performance, other than the optics of a mostly white band.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, why, though?
Why is this a 4th of July?
Why that song of all of them?
It's a song that comes from a whole play and movie and all that about Africa. Why is that in the 4th of July
part? Sung in mostly Swahili.
Yeah. It's like, they did a good job, but why was this at a 4th of July party?
Yeah.
Fuck.
For the record, yes, go on YouTube and watch it, because it is a good performance. It's just, why? That is the one question you will be asking yourself. Why that song?
Yeah. Just do the stupid thing that's reasonable and just sing Born in the USA.
Yeah.
Despite it not being about pro-America.
Mm-hmm. By the way, just because we have this here as a show note, when Obama was president, he actually had the real Bruno Mars perform at his 4th of July event in 2015.
Yeah, of course he did. I think it might have been multiple years he had him. Yeah, you can watch the whole video. Obama mm-hmm. doing a speech. Bruno Mars hanging out and doing his performing Uptown Funk.
Yeah.
Which is the same song that the Trump band was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Only with, 100 times more people.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are actually excited mm-hmm. about the real Bruno Mars, not a cover from a nobody that nobody cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Not dissing their abilities, singers, but he was out of his element.
Yeah.
Don't cover Bruno Mars if you can't sing like Bruno Mars.
Just don't, you know, just if you're going to cover Bruno Mars, look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, am I Bruno Mars? No. Then I shouldn't cover Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Pretty good litmus test.
Yeah. Because only Bruno Mars can effectively do Bruno Mars well. And let's be honest, he is kind of one note.
It's a pretty good note.
I mean, yeah, it's a damn good note, but there's a reason why he's kind of had to mine, like, old music in order to make, you know, mutter stuff. Even if it is really good.
Yeah.
And he does put on a hell of a show. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But next up, and this is one hell of a story right here. Colin Kaepernick signed a first look deal with Disney.
Yep. So this is primarily for a documentary series with ESPN Films.
Mm-hmm.
With Walt Disney and Kaepernick's Raw Vision Media production company.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to emphasize scripted and unscripted stories that deal with race, social injustice, and the quest for equity, and mm-hmm. work to showcase directors and producers of color. It also extends across all of their units, so Walt Disney TV, ESPN, Hulu, Pixar, and The Undefeated. An ESPN venue that focuses on matters of race and sports.
Mm-hmm.
Which I haven't seen a lot more of them lately on TV.
Mm.
Mostly because there's not much else going on in sports.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, oh, is this, are we actually going to start? Who knows? It's more cases.
Hmm?
I don't know.
We'll see.
Who knows?
Yep.
But yeah, this is going to be neat.
Mm-hmm. And also, because you mentioned it earlier on the show, the classic episodes of Supermarket Sweep are on Netflix.
Yep.
And it is 90s as hell.
Yeah. The show's much older than that. Started in like the 60s, I guess. Which, hell, I'd like to see that. See what that was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if like you have Game Show Network, like those 70s and 80s shows can be pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. It's funny how much time you'll find yourself losing when watching the Game Show Network. It is.
Yeah.
It disappears really good. Also, when you realize that there were game shows that actually existed.
Yeah. Been around for probably about as long as there's been TV.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing them locally.
Mm-hmm.
At weird places, they do them on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 15 episodes, not too much, but hopefully it does well and they keep adding more.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff that really ages well, like I mentioned earlier, the mentioning of Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
In a positive light that you can also twist into suggesting he drugged women with spiked pudding.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're doing a reboot at some point. Not sure if it's going to be on Netflix, but ABC is doing it. So they're also talking about bringing that guy back, the host, mm-hmm. but he'll be the announcer.
Yeah.
I assume somebody else will host, but who knows?
Yeah. I think the closest like equivalent they had this was Guy's Grocery Games on Food Network. But, yeah.
I think it was a different. It wasn't Supermarket Sweep. It was some other show that was similar, but it was in like a mall. It was about.
I think, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't ever remember the name, but. Mm. It was kind of similar.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, what if it's not a grocery store? What if it's a mall? I was like, well, that'd be perfect now because the malls don't do anything anymore.
Nope, they are ghost towns.
They're old people exercise places.
Yep.
They go there, they walk around, and they get their exercise in.
Yep. Sweep. And Comedy Central announced that they're ordering 2 new seasons of Beavis and Butthead. That's right. Yes. Beavis and Butthead is coming back.
I'm ready for that.
Sure.
I am, I'm guessing it's still basically going to be just like what old Beavis and Butthead was like. They haven't aged or anything.
I imagine so. I mean, they did bring it back in like 2010, 2011.
Yeah, briefly. And,
yep. It was one season, but Mike Judge had leveled up so much while he was doing King of the Hill
mm-hmm.
that those were some of the best episodes of that entire series, even though some of them might have been a little too clever for Beavis and Butthead's usual tone.
Yeah.
They were still fantastic episodes, and yeah, if we can get more of that, I am completely on board.
As long as there are Gwar videos in there, I'll be happy. Because they are Beavis and Butthead's favorite band, you know.
Yeah, but, that's mm-hmm. a heck of a show. It's a perfect encapsulation of like that time.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s of music and what dumbasses like these would do.
Well, it was very emblematic of Gen X.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. That was because that's when that show came about, and that's basically defined Gen X humor.
Yeah.
More or less. That's. I remember if you want to know, like, what were we laughing about, you know, back in the early 90s? Well, there you go.
Cornholio.
Yeah. He needed TP for his bunghole. Don't forget his neighbor who was a veteran of 2 foreign wars.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that dude and his wife were basically like the prototypes for Hank and Peggy Hill.
Yeah. There was like Daria that spun off of that.
Yeah.
Which itself is a pretty good show.
Also needs to come back.
I would think it is coming back, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, MTV
another Gen X show that could weirdly enough become very, very relevant again.
Yeah, they announced June 2019 a spinoff series called Jody.
Mm-hmm.
Originally Daria and Jody, with actress Tracy Ellis Ross starring as a titular character. See, June 2020, it was announced that it aired on Comedy Central, mm-hmm. following the second revival of Beavis and Butthead. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That works.
Coming out this, around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that show being on, like, middle of the day on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah. But, yeah, and let's see. The CW is tapping Yvica Leslie for a Batwoman title role. Because yep. I think Ruby Rose actually left that show, didn't she?
Yeah.
Well, she nearly crippled herself.
Yeah.
That, and it was taking up too much of her time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's an interesting choice because she is black, she is bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And the comments on Twitter are exactly what you would expect.
Because it's Twitter, and it's comic book fans, and they're awful.
Yeah. But yeah, like, in CW fashion, like, the entire first season kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because essentially she'll take over the role and for the second season and act like Ruby never existed.
Mm-hmm.
She's playing a character named Ryan Wilder, becoming the first black actress to play Batwoman in live-action TV or film production.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it'll be cool to see how they do this.
Mm-hmm.
The fun part of the CW universe is that they can kind of make any changes they want anyway, because they can just be like, Flash did something, it changed the timeline. Oh, Batwoman's mm-hmm. black now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who knows? It's, you know, the comic way. I'm like, oh, something happened. Well, timeline's changed.
Yep.
Well, this is the new normal.
Yeah.
You know, remember when we destroyed all the worlds, all the Earths?
Mm-hmm.
No, we undid some of that.
Yeah.
Because, whatever. Which that's, all those big events are all kind of fun to watch. But especially mm-hmm. if you only like watch like one of the shows, where you just get like part of it, like, wait, what the fuck was this? Then it just goes back to normal. It's like, okay, well, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, she was
it's
on
true.
God Friended Me. Also, Berlanti Show,
mm-hmm.
BT's The Family Business, and feature film Always a Bridesmaid. So she's got some chops.
Mm-hmm. Finally, last story we got for the night. The 1619 Project, some of you may have heard about it. It's a project that the New York Times started. I think it was back in, was it in 2017, 2018 they started
2019.
It? 2019. Mm-hmm. Last year.
Yeah, 400th anniversary. Yeah, the 400th anniversary of the first enslaved Africans' arrival into the English colonies.
Yeah,
to become the United States.
Yeah, and there are, for the record, there are flaws with the 1619 Project, and people have pointed out those flaws already.
Yeah,
mostly because it kind of doesn't really take a good, like, say, social class perspective. But that's just like one criticism. But either way, it was a relatively good project that came out of the New York Times. So, you know, one good thing that came out of there. And it was recently decided that it's going to be adapted to both film and television with the help of Oprah Winfrey, Nicole Hannah-Jones, and Lionsgate.
Yep.
You know, I think... You know, we as a country, we're kind of in the middle of a cultural shift right now where we're all collectively having a second look at our country's history, and we kind of are realizing that a lot of the myths that have been built around our country's founding aren't true and hide some very dark facts underneath them.
Yeah.
If you, for example, a good example, there's a guy on YouTube named Renegade Cut. And Renegade Cut, he's a dude who does video essays on stuff like this. And he recently did one that he put out this week called The Cult of Tradition. And it's specifically about reexamining sort of the history of the Founding Fathers, and specifically the sort of cults of personality that got progressively built around them over the years. For example, like with Washington, where's that story of like how, you know, that story of him, you know, chopping down the cherry tree you know?
Yeah.
Of, you know, him coming from humble beginnings, and he was this valorous warrior. George Washington came from wealth. He was a very well-off individual when he was born. And, you know, there's also, like, sort of the story about Thomas Jefferson. They bring up the thing with Sally Hemings. They also bring up the whole sort of the fact that, you know, he is the guy who wrote the Declaration of Independence, but also was a owned hundreds of slaves during his lifetime, and continued to purchase them all up to his death. And actually, they recently, I think, who was it? Was it CNN or MSNBC or someone? They interviewed a couple of descendants from both sides of Jefferson's family tree, the side with the Jeffersons and the side with the Hemings. Yep. And what was it that they said, Chris?
It was basically sort of that the Thomas Jefferson Memorial doesn't really stand for what it was supposed to.
The one in Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it should be reused more for things like the founding mothers of this country.
Yeah.
You know, held free slaves and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. If you actually go to, like, a Monticello today, when you enter the building, one of the first things that you see is this monument that is a statue of Thomas Jefferson, and on the base of it, it says, you know, all men are created equal, and then behind him is this huge stone slab that lists all of the known human beings he purchased and owned throughout his lifetime. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's, you know, that's kind of like the compromise, basically. And as time gone on, people have just in general, and really I think all this stuff recently really kicked it off. People just in general kind of started to relook at our country's history and started to, and a lot of young people in particular feel very angry because they feel like they've been lied to.
Yeah, they have.
And the thing you have to understand, the thing you got to understand is they were taught this stuff. We Americans were taught this stuff for generations, yeah. And there were generation upon generation of various school teachers, probably perfectly fine people who never realized that they were teaching a lie.
Yeah.
And it's everything has been kind of refocus now, and it's kind of realized that, wow,
yeah. I was looking at the video that CNN did,
mm-hmm.
Where, like, one of the quotes from, I forget what his name is, Shannon Lanier, is from the slave side of his family.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, like, a lot of these public statues were put in place for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start looking at these people as human beings, not gods, not idols.
Yeah. And again, you know, that's kind of what they started doing pretty much since the founding of the country, trying to construct a mythology around them.
Yeah.
Like
with George Washington, he kind of got out of it before he could be torn down.
Oh!
In general, like, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff there, but...
Well, Washington, like, was actually very active in sort of helping to construct the early stages of his personality cult. He was actually really very conscious of his image and how it could be used.
Yeah.
It's
like, he would probably know, like, stepping down is a big deal because, one, it's, you know, sets him apart from the monarchy they came from.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he the sort of precedent of a president only serving two terms started with him.
And there would be ways of subverting that. It's like, they still had the thing at that point where the runner-up became the vice president.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which was a pretty good idea in terms of having somebody that could counter not just being a...
Because understand, you know, political parties were actually a new thing in America by the end of Washington's term.
Yeah.
Washington by himself was a more or less a member of the Federalists, whereas, you know, the likes of, like, Madison and Jefferson were with the Democratic Republicans.
Yeah.
And, but, like, famously in his last address, he warned about the danger of political parties.
Yeah.
But,
which is kind of what happened with Jefferson.
Yeah.
Who helps create the standard of, you know, the president and the vice president are going to be the same party.
Yeah, because the guy who was going to be his vice president was Aaron Burr.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Aaron Burr had been vice president to, was it Adam? No, it wasn't Adams. Jefferson was vice president.
He was Jefferson's vice president
at first.
Then
for like
second
a short
term,
amount of time.
He
yeah.
put in that rule.
Yeah.
So that for the next time around, he would not have to have him.
Yeah.
And yeah, that kind of set that whole thing.
Yeah, that kind of started the whole thing where he ended up calling out Alexander Hamilton and that duel that happened. By the way, speaking of re-looking at history, wow, Hamilton decides to come out this year on Disney Plus, and timing could not be worse. Wow. Because all of a sudden you have to re-look at that whole story and realize, yeah, this kind of valorizes some people that perhaps shouldn't be valorized this week.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's also a musical.
So it's also not fundamentally subversive in a lot of ways, too.
Yeah.
So,
like, it's there are people that are critical of things that are valid, but also it's taking a book, the Ron Chernow book, and sort of taking elements of it to create, like, a hip-hop
story yeah.
out of it that, you know, puts people of color in place of these old white men.
Yeah.
And tries to be more inclusive in that way.
I do think that, if anything, that show did a good job of taking Thomas Jefferson down a peg.
Yeah. And it also kind of shows that, like, everybody is not immune to, like, they're not idolized in terms of, like, not being treated like they're impenetrable. So,
yeah, yeah.
Hamilton himself goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
maybe by previous generations, but
yeah.
not anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, this stuff kind of even goes down to the money.
Yeah.
Andrew Jackson on bills, who's
mm-hmm.
not a good president anyway.
No, he wasn't actually really a good president to begin with.
Yeah, it's, you know,
the reason he got valorized was because he was the first American-born president. Well, no. Well, yeah, he was the first I want to say he was the first person who was – I want to say he was the first person who was born after the Revolution, but I don't think that was true either. Yeah, he was just shit.
Yeah, Martin Van Buren was the first born in the U.S.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, that's – I do believe we've had ourselves a show, folks, and it got kind of heavy, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's heavy times. What can you say?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there yet, just wait a few minutes. We will be. We're kind of like fungus that way. We're inevitable. I would like to say we're like the internet's version of Thanos, but yeah. So, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins, and for Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sanders, and Chris Elogi, good night, sleep tight. We still got a few more funds of this crap, so remember to vote in November.